All right.
We're here.
We've switched over. Audio listeners, we're live on YouTube. You missed it. Too late, dumbass.
It's not too late.
No. Oh, they did miss it. It is too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're listening right now. It already happened.
Yeah.
But they're missing a genius bit because we're just a couple boys again. We're missing album, but are we really? Because I've set up here an album, so he'll talk about as much as album does. I know he listens to the first like fucking 2 minutes of this shit to fucking upload it online, so he'll hear that joke.
And then he'll go watch the video for a second, just to see which album it was.
I hope so. Yeah, I couldn't decide what album to put, and then I put
that's a good one.
Well, I put Wasting Light first, and then the black album was the light was reflecting horribly off of it.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was like, I gotta go with a bright colored album such that it wouldn't be just so annoyingly reflecting off of it. But
so you went with the brightest.
Well, no, because it's not reflecting.
Well,
yeah, exactly. I guess the brightest. Is white the brightest?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. I gotta be like a neon green is brighter than white.
I mean, like maybe like technically, but I don't know color spectrum.
But the color itself, no, me neither.
Yeah.
We're musicians.
What is the brightest color? We'll never know.
We'll never, literally never know.
I'm sure that white would be the brightest if like reflected upon, but this is like the whole reason I picked it is that this isn't reflecting. Like
no.
This isn't like bouncing back. You can't, whatever. That's not really the point of any of this. It's not really the point at all, but that's okay.
What is the point?
What do you mean?
Of anything.
Is that what we're doing today?
That's where I'm at today.
That's where you're at today.
Kind of.
Really?
A little bit. Not in a bad way, but in like a zany. Ooh.
Well, let's get into it. Morning. Welcome to Don't Be the Artist. I'm Hagen.
I'm Dave.
And that
is album.
Go ahead. Speak up. Speak up, buddy. Come on.
Fuck off.
Oh. We do that later.
He's so upset.
Do we know where Adam is again? No.
No.
Decidedly don't know where he is.
I have an idea.
I think we asked this time.
I know what he's doing.
Okay.
I don't know where he is, though.
Great. Yeah. That's awesome. So we miss Adam, but here we are anyway. Mm-hmm. How are you? How's your week?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's good.
Same thing. Just learning tunes and playing tunes. Yeah.
This week?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Not as many. Not nearly as many.
Okay.
And I'll play all of them.
You'll play all of them this time.
I'll get to play all of them.
Yeah. What do you have this weekend?
Wedding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you'll play all the songs.
I'm playing bass in the band that is owned by the band leader again.
Oh.
That whole confusing thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super confusing.
He's playing with my band.
Right. Can you explain that?
I can try.
Yeah.
This guy owns two bands, booked two gigs. I was like, what do I do about this? I'll contact my friend who runs the band that I'm in. And he was like, hey, do you guys want to do this gig? Yes. Okay. Essentially, from what I gather, he was like, how about I come and play with you guys so that I can represent my band there? And then the people that I have in my band that I've known for
like
a long time.
The trustworthy ones.
The trusted band members can represent my band at the other place.
Gotcha.
That's what I'm guessing.
Okay.
I've asked people.
And you don't know.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
I don't know if he's getting more money out of this. I don't know if he's taking the better gig and putting him blah, blah, blah. I have no idea what it is.
He probably takes a different kind of cut if he's
of course
the
he does.
Owner.
He's the band leader of, ostensibly the band leader of both bands.
Yeah. Crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
So what happens is that he goes and plays with the band you're normally in.
That I love playing in that band.
And,
it's fun.
And then you go get to play with his band.
Yeah.
Which is less fun.
Different fun.
Okay. Different fun. Okay.
The band that I play in most of the time, you know what it's like. It's like, they're all buddies. They're all friends.
Yeah.
You know, they're all gig buddies
and
gig friends.
You've been doing it for a while,
too. Doing it for a while.
Yeah.
I already worked my ass off to know those songs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And now this one, and, you know, because of that, he also takes other people from his band, which I didn't know that. So sometimes there are people subbing in the band that I'm subbing in.
So it's like everybody is in the same boat.
Kind of.
Okay, I see.
Only I don't know if the other people are just more experienced than I am or they just don't practice as much as I do for these things. And so there's different set lists every time I've done this so far.
Yeah.
mostly the same songs. There usually ends up being about 20 songs that have not were not on the set list before.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I'm learning weird things, and I'm like, I didn't know this was a song.
Is that like, but that would likely be because of wedding requests.
Wedding, somewhere between wedding requests and other people that are in the band for one night only.
Okay, yeah.
You know, singers will come in and go, I don't know that one. How about this one? He'll go, sure.
Cool. Yeah.
He's like, I'm not learning it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I've been learning a lot of songs.
Fuck.
But that's fine.
Sure.
It's a season.
Sure.
I said that last year.
But what is wedding season?
I don't know. That isn't even what I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking like it's a season of learning songs.
Oh, okay. I see.
Like
this
chapter of my life is called learning songs.
Yeah, because like it would make sense that you would learn a lot of songs during wedding season.
Sure.
But I'm of the mind that wedding season is so many seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the fuck is like there are multiple. Yes, I know
fall,
that.
Fall, I guess. Maybe but, fall is the most popular.
There's so many weddings. I don't like
weddings can happen anytime.
Yeah, but there are definitely times where I'll get on Instagram on like a fucking like Saturday night and I'll scroll and I'm like, there were 5 weddings that people went to that I'm like, you know, acquaintances with or following, right?
Yeah. First of all, why wasn't I invited?
I don't care.
No, me neither. I wouldn't want to go anyway.
I like going to weddings, but like they're at like people at their weddings that like they weren't invited to my wedding. So why the fuck would I be invited to theirs?
And in fact, would it make you uncomfortable if they were like, hey, you want to?
No.
Here's an invitation.
I just would be like, why? I would go, but I'd just be like, why do you want me to go? I mean, sure. Yeah, of course. I'd love to.
Let me ask you this question. If somebody sends you an RSVP to a wedding that you're not going to go to,
mm-hmm.
Do you then mail it back with a response?
First
or do
of
you
all,
just kind of ignore it?
If someone has, this is a fucking PSA for all you motherfuckers who are getting married. If you're sending out physical invitations, okay, fine.
Traditional families.
If your then physical invitation requires me to then send a physical response, what? It's all on, you're going to have a wedding website anyway. Just have me do it online.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If I'm not going, I'm going to tell them no.
Yeah.
You're
going to mail them back a no, or you're going to text?
Oh, if I have to, I'll do whatever they want.
Yeah.
If it's all done through mail, then yeah.
Right.
Especially if it's someone that I'm like not that acquainted with, and they
sure.
just happen to invite me, then yeah, I'll mail it back. But like the amount, the head count's really important.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, I'll definitely tell
as
them
as fast
no.
as possible.
Yeah, I'll tell them no.
Yeah, or yes.
Yeah, or yes. Mm. And to be fair, if I'm invited to a wedding, I'll always try to go.
Sure.
Like I that's
you like love.
People didn't have to. They don't have to invite people to things.
That's true.
And when one is invited to things, a lot of times we tend to as people just go like, fuck, I got to go to this thing, or I got to figure out a way to say no to go to this thing. And it's like, yeah, but they didn't have to invite you. You know,
yeah.
they decided to put the effort in and go, hey, this person I haven't talked to in forever. You want to come to this wedding? Now, you have every right to go.
I have to go to this thing. I don't want to go to this thing.
Yeah. Or say, this is so sweet, but no.
Yeah.
But I think the perspective is important to remember, like, you didn't have to. Like I mentioned to you that bachelor party that I was invited to.
So you're excited about that.
Oh, very excited about that.
Not the others.
But, well, no, I think they're excited about it. I just think they're shitty.
Oh.
I just think, and I, you know, there's a chance one of them could watch this. I don't give a shit, though. because the reality is like, when you get invited to a bachelor party, yeah, maybe it's like, I got to schedule this. I'm busy. Life's tough. But, like, your friend didn't have to invite you to the bachelor party.
Yeah.
That's a big ask. That's a big deal. To be
also,
like,
if it's someone you don't really know and they're like, it's in Vegas. You're like, no.
Well, yeah. If someone that I don't really know is like, hey, you want to come to my bachelor party in Vegas? Like,
no.
You got other friends?
Yeah.
You got other friends, big dog? Because if I'm your only friend, we got other problems. We got other things we got to deal with here. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I think weddings are tough with that too, because there's a lot of people who are just like very like not in weddings for like but like a good wedding is just a fun time.
This wedding, there were very frequently with these wedding bands, there will be like wedding, they want to hear these songs.
Yeah.
You know, the band leader will send a set list,
right.
A master list.
Yeah.
There will be, play these songs, please. There will be, we don't really care for this. And there will be absolutely no.
Yeah.
Do not play this at all.
Right.
It's usually, yes, play all the country.
Right.
None of the hip hop.
Yeah.
Yes, play all the hip hop. None of the country.
Right.
This wedding was like, hip hop, great.
Yeah.
Uptown funk, we love it.
Yeah.
Country, okay, only one on the do not play, Jason Aldean.
Fuck yeah.
I was like, all right.
Dude, that'll be a great
fun wedding.
Dude, that'll be great. Because
Jason Aldean sucks.
Dude, try that in a gay town.
Yeah.
I look at that comment every day. I'm like, that's so fucking funny. I love that someone told us that. That's so funny. Yeah. I played two gigs last weekend, and they were both after I had a 3-day migraine.
Yeah.
Now that is an exaggeration. I wasn't in pain for 3 days. I would have gone to the hospital.
Of course.
I would have gone to the hospital.
At that point, it's not just a migraine.
I left work early.
You're probably dying.
Or it's a migraine. It's just a really bad one.
Have you ever had a straight 3-day migraine?
No. Two days, though. But I left work early on Thursday. I came home. I fell asleep. I woke up, and I was like, ah, I'm better. And then woke the middle of the night Friday. I was like, I'm not better. And then all day Friday, it was fucking awful. And then Saturday was good. And then the middle of Saturday, I was like, I'm not better.
Yeah.
And then it came. And then I kind of rallied, went back, and I went and played a gig. And then I played a gig Sunday. And Sunday was a great day. It was all, once it was gone, I was like, I'm alive. I can do things again. It was wonderful. Truly wonderful. Just had to get through all that bullshit. Like,
yeah.
I've played gigs with a migraine. I played that. I think I told you, mentioned it when it happened. I played this private party for a graduation party, and I had a migraine the whole time. And the sound guy was like, "Why are you fucking here?" And I was like, "Cause I'm getting paid to be here, asshole."
It's like, you don't understand. I have to.
Yeah, I was like, "Cause I have to be here." Yeah, I just sat in traffic for an hour and 40 minutes with a migraine, and I'm about to play drums. I have to be here. There's not a choice. There's not like a, I can't call in and go, you got someone else, or, you know, it's like.
But that's the thing with you is that if you can do it, you're likely going to do it, even if it's an inconvenience for you sometimes.
Yeah.
Like we were down to the wire with Fun Fridays for anyone watching.
We were
going to do Fun Fridays in spite of your migraine.
Well, I thought I was going to be done.
Yeah.
I felt it being done, and then it just didn't. And it was like, fucking whatever, dude. But anyway, that's like, it was almost going to be a play an 11 o'clock gig on a Saturday with a migraine with a bunch of people who have been partying all day, because it was like a 2-day festival here in Denton. And I'm like, nope.
Right.
This is going to suck. This is going to fucking suck. But luckily it did not. And it was a ton of fun. And it was, it's so interesting sometimes watching these 2-day festivals. Cause it's like this one was, it's pretty DIY, and it's like, it's not really a stage. It's like it's on like a street, basically. It's in Beer Alley, which for anyone who listened to our episode with Ben from the Bearded Monk, we talk about his space at the Bearded Monk.
We also did our only live episode there.
Yeah, it's true. You're basically playing, they call it Beer Alley. You're playing like a driveway, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this like 2-day festival they put on this last weekend called Noise Market. And it was legitimately like could not have imagined more opposite bands back to back.
Right.
Like every single band I saw was like, oh, that's interesting. Why is that band before that one? Like, it was like a indie math band before like a like hardcore band before us, an Americana band.
Right.
It was like, I could maybe see some of the through line, but not in the end. And they kept, man, I got a gripe about one thing here. We got to change. We got to specify and define the word headline.
Right.
We got to do this. And I'm putting this out into the fucking ether for every person who's in a local scene right now, who's not like crushing it at their local huge venue, right? Yeah. I'm putting this out into the ether to say, if you are playing your local venue at 12 o'clock, you're not the headliner. You're the last band. Call it that. You got the shit slot.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Unless you have the friend group that's out to party all night.
Sure.
You got the shit slot.
Yes.
What I mean by that is people aren't trying to hang out.
No.
Until fucking midnight to see a band play.
No.
Right? They're like, if you play at midnight, your friends are going to go, okay.
They're not even showing up to the gig.
Yeah.
They're going to go, man, I'm so sorry. I'll see you next week when you play at the other venue.
Yeah.
In town.
I've actually had gigs recently where like I've seen people I know who are in the audience, and they're like, oh, what's up, dude? You playing tonight? I'm like, yeah, at 11. And they're like, all right.
Good. Have a good set.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck. God. Damn it. And a again, this will be dependent on if your friend group or your like scene that you're a part of, maybe you're part of like, you know, some metal scenes tend to go later. Some like punk scenes tend to be friendlier to that kind of stuff.
You're saying exceptions to the rule.
Exceptions to the rule. But in general, if you're playing last in your local scene,
you got the shit slot.
Don't call it the headliner.
Yeah.
You're calling it that to make yourself feel better.
You're better off playing first.
Play first. You want that.
Yeah.
You want to, especially first is at 9, play first.
Yeah.
If middle is 10, do that.
Yeah.
If you're playing at 11 or 12, I'm praying for you, bud.
Yeah.
I hope so badly that you have a crowd.
Even at like bigger festivals.
Yeah.
The people that play that late are usually DJs.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, experimental acts or jam bands.
This is a really great segue because we're going to talk about Coachella today. We're doing like music news, whatever. It's just a bunch of, you know, goss, if you will. But I was listening to a streamer who went to Coachella this weekend, and he said that he was at an after party while Grime Set was happening.
Oh God!
And I'm like, no. Like the after party wasn't Grime Set. I'm saying that after parties.
No, I get it.
Yeah, already started.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
the festival is still going on.
Make no mistake, because we will talk about Grimes.
Yeah.
Make no mistake, there were still a lot of people at Grimes' set.
Of course. But like, and he's also an influencer, so he's at like an influencer after party. Right. But like, that's the perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Your set is like your Grimes. You probably have a good set time in that set in the festival setting.
Sure.
And I don't know what her set time was, but you probably have a good set time, right? And there's people who are after partying during your set.
I saw people post that I follow on Instagram, Coachella 2024, and not one picture was of a band.
Yes. Now, this is something that I do want to talk about before we cover like the actual things that happened in Coachella. I was thinking about this today, and I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was thinking about festivals. And I wanted to ask you a question, which is, would you go to Coachella? Now, you can caveat it. I have caveats for my answer. So
if I wasn't paying for it.
Okay.
If I was given a really good place to stay, yes, I would go.
Okay. Yeah, mine is, I guess if it was paid for, but if I had the money to afford it and also afford a good time.
Well, that's what I mean.
Comfortably, you know.
But I would actually go there to listen to the music.
So I think that I would listen to music too. Of course I would. But
yeah, that's all I would be there to do.
Well, see, I was thinking like, I would love to go to Coachella and like with a massive group of friends, rent a house and like party. Coachella is a party festival.
Sure.
And there's great music there. Like I watched all of Renee Rapp's set. It was amazing.
Right.
But like, you know, as someone who's complained about this, this is a party thing. Festivals are a party.
Have they rebranded it to not say that it's a music festival?
No, well, as far as I know, people still talk about it like it's a Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival.
Music and arts. Okay.
Yeah. Not music and party.
It should be like Coachella Valley pop culture.
Yeah, sure.
Arts and music festival.
Now, I saw a lot of people this year who were like kind of like giving people shit for their outfits because that's like such a big part of Coachella.
It's a fashion statement.
Yeah. But like this year, everyone was the fashion statement was to dress like Dune and wear clothes that was really similar to like what they wear in Dune.
We should tell them about Burning Man.
Well, yeah, but that leads more into the pop culture thing. But I saw people who are also like, for everyone who is like getting shit for this, you know, and they kind of implied they were going to give them shit back, but they ended with like, yeah, where would you want to wear? Wear the shit you want to wear, because that is part of it. Now, they call it a music and arts festival. They probably should change the name, but music is like what's happening primarily, right?
Music was the reason for the season. Yeah. Like, when it started, it was a music festival.
Right.
Or maybe a music and arts festival. 9 times out of 10, when people are throwing a music and arts festival, it's just that there's literally art involved.
There's like art tents.
They have artists and art tents and pop-up tents with things like that.
Yeah. Blake in the chat says Coachella Dance and Fashion Weekend Extravaganza, which I think is great.
Again, I would even say Coachella Fashion Weekend and Dance Extravaganza.
Sure, yeah.
I want to stress that music is not first.
Well, I think that here's the thing. Music is first as far as like the planning of the festival.
Sure.
And what happens next is you know, up into the ether, is up for debate. And this is kind of my thing. Like when me and Jackson went to ACL, We experienced this thing of just like, holy shit, we want to watch music and no one else does.
Right.
And this is tough. This is really tough because, like, you know, we want to watch this thing.
And y'all went in 2016?
That's what that poster says. So, yes, I'm going to believe that.
I can't even see it.
Yeah, it says 2016. I just checked because I was like, I don't know what year it was. Yeah. 2016. So, like, you know, there were some sets that were great. We were able to enjoy the whole thing. And there were some sets that were like, this is tough. Like, we cannot. And like, you know, for Radiohead, we almost got to enjoy the whole thing. But we had to, you know, we had to make way for Jackson to go enjoy Radiohead.
Right.
And for like, you know, Andrew Bird, my man's is out there whistling. And the guy behind me is like, is he doing that with his mouth? Like, yeah, dog. Jesus fucking Christ.
No, it's his asshole. Yeah. I mean, what else? Where else is he going to whistle?
Fucking from? Chug your whatever people were drinking in 2016. It wasn't White Claws. But chug that and shut the fuck up. Enjoy it. But I'm not going to yuck anyone's yum. The party aspect is cool. I totally get that. I think that that's what I would, if I were to go to Coachella, I would want to lean into parts. I'd want to get like, I'd want to do the thing where you rent a big fucking house with your friends.
Yeah.
And you party, you know,
yeah.
You go out to the festival grounds and you I don't know if I'd go as far as like go as hard as a lot of people go with their fits, but it would be fun to do that with your friends. And it would be fun to like go and like experience that level of it, I think.
Just succumb to the atmosphere.
But then also go see music.
Because I also wouldn't want to go there and just be like, music festival. Whoa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be a dick about it.
Of course. And that's, I think the notion of just traveling with friends sounds amazing. The notion of getting a house at a music festival in the, like, you know, in basically like the desert with your friends is that sounds like only a fun time. And like, as long as everyone's open with like, okay, I'm gonna go see this band. I'll see this band, you know, like we'll split up and go do our own things and whatever. That's cool. But like, you know, there's a happy medium. I just think that, you know, largely people aren't listening to as much music in general,
or of course,
like, you know, which we talked about plenty of times, but yeah, it's about something else for majority of people, which is fine, but leads me to my first point about Coachella, which is, this is a little bit like, oversold or overreported or whatever. And it's not as real as it was, but Coachella did kind of undersell, which is strange for them. So normally, when they like, you know, announce the festival and put the tickets online, it's the first weekend will sell out within like a few hours. But this year it took about a month for the first weekend to sell out. Now, there were 250,000 tickets available for purchase this year. I believe that's over the course of the two weekends, and they sold about 80% of that. So they did not sell out the entire two weekends. It's about overall, it seems like the bottom line is that the sales will dip about 14-17% compared to last year. So it's not, like I said, people were thinking it was like, holy shit, it was empty.
Right.
It was not empty, but it was definitely
certainly
a lot.
Was not empty.
And all that being said, still the most attended and highest grossing festival in the US.
Wow.
Yeah. Beats ACL, beats EDC, beats all the festivals.
So Coachella is only competing with itself.
Right. Yeah. And it's you know, I'm not shocked that it would sell less at any point in time in this time, you know, there's
right.
like, you know, things are expensive and like, you know, the people who are paying for Coachella are the people who can afford to it's a lot of money. So
right.
And to be fair, also, like, ACL does have a cap over the two weekends at 75,000. So it does, you know, the space is different, but it still is the most attended, highest grossing annual festival.
75,000 total over two weekends?
This is what this implies. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
ACL spread out over two weekends, attendance capped at 75,000. Mm. Oh, per weekend. Sorry, per weekend.
Still 150,000.
Yeah. So it's just not the same thing.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to see how everyone was like talking about how undersold it was. That was very interesting. So a couple things, more than a couple things I would say happened at Coachella. We'll do a few of these. First one's simple. As I said, I watched Oliver and A-Rap's set. It was amazing. She went public with her partner on stage, which she's this, I forget their name, killer guitar player. Not Renee Rapp's guitar player, but
Okay.
Killer artist, killer guitar player. Renee Rapp brought them out to do a song, and then they like hard launched their relationship on stage by kissing on stage. It was cute.
Sorry. I just love the idea of Renee Rapp's publicist, which who knows if she even has one.
Yeah, yeah.
Going like, do you want to hard launch the relationship Coachella?
That's a real thing for these people. I don't know if it's a concern. It's, for some people, it's a concern, but for a lot of people, it's like, you know, it just happens to be the hard launch.
Yes, of course.
Before that, though, Renee Rapp brought out Kesha, which they're like friends, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And they did Kesha's song TikTok together, which was really cool. And the line, wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy, instead was, wake up in the morning, fuck P. Diddy.
Very loudly.
And the best part about it was, obviously, there's rehearsals for this.
Yeah.
The whole band screamed it.
Really?
The whole, all of Renee Rapp's band is behind them going, fuck P. Diddy. It's great.
Wow.
Yeah. Incredible. Loved that little tiny snippet of something. It's not that much of news. Just
funny.
To see it. You guys can find the clip online. It's great.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So we had two, I guess, not one of them wasn't really a reunion, but we had two, you know, kind of like nostalgia bands perform.
Sure.
One being No Doubt. No Doubt was a reunion.
Uh-huh.
Which that, I don't know if you caught any of that, but that was pretty good.
I saw little clips here and there, comparisons between their famous performances and how they did their Coachella set, and it looked really good.
Yeah, I think Olivia Rodrigo did a song with them too.
Yeah, which that she did.
Yeah, which is cute.
Yeah. Do you think any part of Billie Eilish was like, damn it?
Maybe, but Billie Eilish has done
everything.
Well, a lot of people. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so
mainly I'm joking there.
Yeah. I thought Olivia Rodrigo's TikTok was really cute of her like saying she was going to perform with No Doubt.
I didn't see that.
She was like, they filmed it, I guess, during rehearsal, and they had the whole space, and Olivia Rodrigo was like in the crowd by herself, like cheering. And then it would cut back to Gwen Stefani. It was really cute. Anyway, so then there was the Sublime performance, right?
Yes.
Which has the original singer's son. I don't know any of the details on this.
Sublime continued on without Bradley Nowell.
Right. Yeah.
When he passed away. Don't know if he was a part of the 27 Club. Blake will probably tell us that in the chat.
Yeah.
But he passed away, and then they did Sublime with Rome.
Right,
which is
that.
Not the original members.
Right.
But some of the original members or one of the original members.
Right.
And then as we were months out from Coachella, Rome decided to move on.
Right.
And Bradley's, the original singer's son,
yeah,
is doing a show with Sublime. And everybody was like, oh my God. And then it slowly just snowballed.
Yeah.
He's in the band now.
And from what I understand, he sounds great.
Sounds just like his dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Did certain things that his dad used to do that people were waiting to see him do. Like,
that's cool.
Play barefoot.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't start out the show barefoot. He eventually took his shoes off, and people were like, oh, your dad does that.
That's cool. That's
so really lots cool. of cool things like that.
So this leads to a question that I have. So I, like, during Coachella, one of my favorite things, during most, like, big music festivals, one of my favorite things that happens on TikTok is music TikTok accounts posting the sets they saw and kind of giving them a rating, right?
28.
He's passed away at 28. Okay.
Damn.
Just missed it.
If I'm going to die at 27 or 28 and I'm famous, I'd rather be 27.
Sure. Yeah. You get to join that horrible club.
Yeah. Horrible club.
So like they'll post like the sets they saw, they'll give them a rating and a little like thing, which is really fun. Cause I like to see, you know, just perspectives on the sets as well as like see, you know, like artists I haven't heard of.
Yeah.
Which
of course.
For a lot of these music TikTokers, they're actually going and watching every set. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that. Now, with the Sublime one, they gave it a rating, and they said something that I found interesting. And again, I'm not a Sublime person, but I did have to wonder about this. What genre is Sublime?
Ska?
Okay.
Hip hop?
Okay. This is where I'm lost. I listened to some more Sublime after this because I was like, I'm confused because the thing they posted was like Sublime. This is the rating. I'm so here for like this ska revival era. If that's what's happening. And I was like, is that what's happening? Second of all, is Sublime ska? I looked up their genre right away. They're considered like ska punk and then reggae. And I was like, I associate them more with reggae than ska.
Yeah.
So I went and I listened to a bunch of their music, and I was like just trying to, because I was like, my brain is broken by this. Because when I think about ska bands, I'm not like Sublime, yes. And I'm so curious to hear anyone in the chat, or if you're listening to the audio version and you have a take on this, please let me know, because I'll agree to ska. I'll agree to that.
It's the
so much of
guitars.
It's slower.
I know.
They play, which is the reggae part of ska, which is where ska comes from.
Exactly.
Like, so they have the songs that are faster.
I know.
Yeah. So anyway, I am floored by this. ska adjacent, I will accept as well.
Like even,
which is reggae already, sorry.
But now that I think about it, when I think about the songs that I do know of theirs, haven't done any deep dives on their stuff. When I do think about the songs that I know of theirs, I would say punk reggae or reggae punk.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. Because he raps.
What would you call 311?
Punk ska.
Ska. This is a category I have a confused, because there is a category called ska punk.
Yeah, I thought, okay, ska punk or ska alternative.
Sure. Ska punk is a category, right?
Sure, yeah. But I thought you had to have horns in order to be a ska band. I guess we don't know what ska is.
I'm not getting the expert on the line. No. But there is an expert that we could call to really nail this down. My thing here is that I feel like the horn thing is important. I feel like the really big, like, discerning thing about ska versus reggae is that you can easily just dilute ska down to it's just faster reggae. It's reggae and punk, right?
Right.
That's one of the big things.
Yeah.
So ska punk always confused me, because, like, well, isn't that already kind of there? So Blake in the chat, reggae rock, ultimately stoner ska, maybe. There's a trombone solo in one song. I love reggae rock. That's perfect. Because that's where I'd also put 311. I'd put 311 closer to, like, reggae rock.
Do we have the ability to listen to music right now?
Yeah.
Can we listen to that trombone solo? I think it's in the song Wrong Way.
Okay. Can you Google the timestamps? So I don't have to search for it.
Sure, yeah.
I feel as though, like, it's just one of those things where there are, like, super big, like, ska bands you can reference that are like, that's a huge fucking ska band. Sublime, ska adjacent, I will accept, but then it still is like, it implies that if you listen to any song, it's gonna have, like, this ska thing to it. And I'm like, it's more reggae. I don't know. Yeah, reggae rock, I feel, is appropriate. Stoner ska is hilarious. And if that's real, I love it. Is it there?
I'm not seeing a timestamp.
That's cool.
I will
look in the lyrics for where the music note is. Oh, wait, hold on. I'll have to do this.
Minute 20.
Minute 20. Blake in the...
Thanks, Blake.
God, that's truly incredible. Guess what? We're going to make it so you guys can hear it.
I mean, it's a pretty impressive trombone solo.
I'm sure it is. Does that make them a ska band?
If they have one trombone solo? I mean, I feel like our friend Kenny would be like, yeah.
There's a pick it up in there.
That's it.
So I could agree that this song is ska.
This sounds ska. But what about it, though? The only thing is the upbeat guitar.
Yeah. Like, okay, so what's a quality of reggae?
Upbeat guitars.
Okay, but like...
And beat three.
Okay, but reggae is decidedly like a slower tempo.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So reggae up like a lot of like upbeat guitars, and then... And I think we should clarify that by upbeat, you mean like on the upbeat, right?
Yeah, on the ands.
Yeah, on the ands.
One, two, three, four.
Which that tempo to me sounds ska, not reggae, right?
Yeah.
So ska to me is like, if you were to take that generalized concept of like the guitars on the upbeats and sped it up, that's what a lot of ska is. So that Sublime song to me, I could agree, is ska. But if we listen to Santeria, no shot in hell.
No shot.
No fucking way is that a ska song.
It's more reggae.
Yes.
But then reggae rock, because they're also not accenting the three, which is a huge characteristic of reggae music.
Yes. And Blake asked a great question in the chat. Can four white guys from Iowa be a reggae band? And the answer I'll give you is probably not. they probably shouldn't be a reggae band, but, you know, whatever. So that's all I have on the ska thing.
I mean, really, it's like they're a punk band that is reggae because they like smoking weed.
Sure, which I guess the stoner reggae thing.
The stoner reggae makes sense. Then,
but yeah, anyway. So that's all I really have on that. I legit.
We digress.
I can't remember if I saw. I must have seen that on like Friday night or something. And I think I was like recovering from my migraine. It was like 11 p.m. or something. And I saw that TikTok and I was like, no shot. Sublime is not a ska band, but. I'll accept ska adjacent. I'll accept, yeah, all that
I stuff. Pictured you going, no shot. And then like, ah.
No, it was pretty much another gone at migraine. That point. It was gone at that point. And so that meant I had a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a lot of pent up energy to really be passionate about this thing I shouldn't be passionate about. Okay, moving on to the next Coachella thing, Blur.
Oh, dude.
Okay. So you saw what happened with Blur then, yes?
Damon Albarn. Albarn? 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 Barn. Barn?
Damon's a barn, bro.
Okay, Damon Albarn. Still feels wrong. Anyway, he agrees that it should not be called a music festival, I would say.
Okay, I feel as though that we could probably put the Damon Albarn story.
See, it feels weird, doesn't it?
I said it funny. next to Damon Albarn, next to the Grime story, they're pretty. They have a similar kind of feeling to them in some ways. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, like it's. You could call Damon Albarn a big old baby about this.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Which is kind of what I think we should go into. First of all, we should say what happened. Right. Okay. So I don't know what song he was doing. I don't know if it was like the big song. I knew that it was. I mean, it must have been a song. Blur's a big band.
It
right?
was. It was a big enough song that he thought people should know it.
Now I want to.
Boys and Girls or maybe, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to clarify one thing here. Who Damon Albarn is? Damon Albarn is the Gorillaz. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. A lot of people seem to not understand who this guy is. Like that he like. I think some people maybe have that idea, but like a lot of people were talking like, dude, why is this guy fucking throwing a fit?
Girls and Boys.
Okay.
On their top, it's their top third played song.
Sure. Okay.
And song two is their first most played.
Sure. So Blur's playing at Coachella. They're doing that song, and he like is getting kind of peeved that the crowd's not singing along, and he gives them another chance to do it, and the crowd's kind of quiet. And what does he say afterwards? I don't think he said it on stage, but he's like, I'm never going back to Coachella.
Oh, no. He said you should sing it now because this is your last chance.
Oh, there's that. Yeah.
We're never coming
back
or something
like
that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So he was real pissed that no one was singing along, which I think has twofold. I think bit of a baby, bit of a diva. But I also understand the perspective of you're a pretty well-known artist performing a pretty well-known song. And there's a huge crowd. You think they're going to sing along. Perspective on that is also important. As do you know who was after them?
No,
I believe Tyler the Creator was after them.
Oh,
yeah. So the whole crowd was trying to get their spots for Tyler the Creator
on a different stage.
No. He was on that stage.
So he had Tyler the Creator's audience.
He had them who were trying to get their fucking spot for Tyler the Creator.
Still,
so he is like. He's basically fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think about a band the size of Blur having to fight an uphill battle like that.
You know what you do? Well.
You do what Damon Albarn did.
Yeah. But you know what I would have done? I would like to think I would have just hyped the shit out of Tyler the Creator.
Sure.
During my set.
Yeah.
Knowing that I'm going to be competing with his crowd and that it's probably likely to be mostly his crowd. Blur was very popular in the early 2000s and late 90s.
Yeah.
They have gone away for several times, come back. They're not really in the limelight at all.
Yeah.
So if I'm Damon Albarn, I have to think, okay, who's excited to see Tyler the Creator?
Yeah.
We were hanging out with him backstage. We're going to collaborate together.
Yeah.
I'm going to lie at that point. If I know that the crowd, especially if the crowd's already sucking, I'm going to lie.
Yeah. Or just like, this is one of those things that I feel is like lost on no matter what level you are. But I feel like sometimes... obviously gather energy from the crowd. That is an incredible thing if you can get more energy and get bigger from the crowd. Yeah. But sometimes you just gotta fucking remember you like doing music and like playing music and fuck the crowd. If they're actively booing you, whatever.
Sure.
Of course, fuck that.
Then you're probably sucking.
Yeah. Or you're just in a really bad situation. Yeah. Right? But I would say their situation wasn't particularly that bad. So
no.
So anyway, it like, that's one of those situations where, and again, I'm not in that position, but I would hope to think that we could be bigger people and persevere mm-hmm. and still perform. But it is still really funny and somewhat of a baby thing to be like, you better sing along. This is the last fucking chance.
So I'm definitely with you on that. I'm of the mind that if you're on a stage, work your ass off to get the crowd to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And that I don't think we should ever expect to walk out to a crowd that's excited to see us.
Yeah.
Even if you're the Foo Fighters, even if you're Tyler, the Creator. I won't say even if. I mean, it would be weird if Taylor Swift walked out to a crowd that was like non-enthusiastic.
Yeah, but could you imagine, like, so like there were a lot of Swifties who were theorizing that like she was gonna be there,
right?
Could you imagine if like Blur played and then Taylor Swift walked out and then Tyler the Creator? I feel like that would be even a losing battle for her because the crowd's like, Tyler the Creator, that's right. What we're here for.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean there's always a chance, right?
So then not only that, Damon Albarn is, he probably is used to having good crowds. He's probably been used to it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how much he actually has to work for a crowd anymore.
Yeah.
Just not his fault. I mean, he's very, very famous. But also, who knows what else went on behind the scenes sure. in terms of that kind of... my parents just totally just derailed my thoughts. And my mom said that her and my dad are watching. But who knows what else went on behind the scenes. Maybe Damon Albarn was walking around looking at the festival already. Like, what happened to this festival?
Or like, why the fuck am I here?
Why the fuck am I here?
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Jesus, yeah.
Anyway.
Well, so that happened.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah, boo-hoo also. I think both sides are really important. Remember their perspective here. You know, mm-hmm. I will both sides this a little bit because perspective either way is important. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be like, I'm a little bit of a fucking baby.
Yeah.
Because I think most people in that position of that caliber probably would end up being a little bit of a baby. I've walked off stage to like a really empty crowd and the front person I'm with is like, you know, there's some people, or actually not even, I've played restaurant gigs where like the crowd is not listening and we finish first set and the front person's like, they're not even engaging. And I'm like, yeah, they're eating dinner.
Yeah, dude.
Shut the fuck up. They're eating dinner.
Yeah.
We're not here to get them go, that was awesome. And if that happens, we fucking ride on that high, baby.
Dude, yeah. I played an outdoor festival like type gig at an amphitheater place. You know, that like the city's little amphitheater thing. One of those was a 4-hour cover band gig with my old cover band, The Enablers. And the entire time, not a single person clapped the entire mm-hmm. time because they were waiting for a raffle to be raffled off at the end of our gig. And we literally were like, we're killing it right now. It was the all-star band of that time. Yeah. And at no point did we slow down or complain about it.
Right.
It was just like, let's play the gig.
But I think that's just, it's just different mindsets, different perspectives.
Depends on where you're coming at it from.
Yeah. So, and on a similar level, but, you know, different, but still similar, is Grimes.
Dude, that's so baby, they're acting like babies.
Yeah.
That's where the comparison
ends.
That's the
thing. So, I have looked into the Grimes thing a little bit, but are you familiar with what happened to Grimes on stage?
She said that her flash drive was corrupted.
Yeah, she's...
And that her tempos were up to 200% faster than they should have been.
All my tracks are twice as fast, so I'm not mixing very well, but I'm going to keep trying, according to footage
from the set. Did you watch, like... I watched, like, a 5-minute video of... Just, like, a highlight video.
Seen, I've only seen clips of it. I haven't seen, like, all of it. I just found a Reddit thread that I'd love to watch, but it's obviously a video, so I'm not going to watch it, but it's basically a guy who is a DJ, and he, I guess, on a stream, like, broke down the logistics of what actually went wrong with her set, and he ended up with, like, I think on, like, the TLDR was, like, stuff did go wrong, but it's not, like, it's not the, it's fucking a computer.
An accomplished.
just say it.
An experienced, competent.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
DJ.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No problem with that.
Yeah.
The things that I've seen were, one guy was like, "I play festivals like this. I always have 4 other backup flash drives.
Yeah.
And hard drives.
Yeah.
With the set." There is no way for that to happen and be a problem.
Yeah.
Another guy was like, here's how you fix this. And he like he was like, I used the same deck. It was another video. And he panned over and hit the tempo reset button.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's it.
Yeah.
Anybody could do that if they were at all competent.
Yeah. So she said on stage after that, just don't blame me. It's mm-hmm. not my fault. Well, it's partially my fault.
Yeah.
And then the issues got worse. She had to restart her set and she screamed on stage. She walked,
several times.
She walked off, right? And yeah. she just walked off.
But she several times said, oh, okay. Okay. This was my fault. Yeah. This one's actually my fault.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then would play something and screw it up, get frustrated and scream a little bit. And then go, please bear with me. Please bear with me, guys. Yeah. Like, you know, normally this isn't a problem. And then go, but, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to do it again. Let's try it again.
Yeah.
But if it sounds bad, it's not my fault.
But it's kind of my fault. But it's not my fault.
Exactly. Yeah, she yeah, just yeah. kept recycling that same thing. And it's fucking painful.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's painful to watch.
People were actually calling it iconic, but.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's the art part of the festival.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's
yeah.
performance art.
Dude, I'm
performing the being bad at the only thing I'm there to do.
Which is crazy. Like, of course you would have backups. It's just like if a guitar player breaks a string, they probably have fucking strings.
At that level?
Or another fucking guitar.
At that level,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
At that level,
yeah.
Like, you as a drummer, your drum tech has four other of your snare drums.
Yeah.
They're waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're competent enough to break it during a song, look over at your tech and go, snare.
Yeah.
And then keep going.
Yeah.
Hit something that sounds like a snare.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. Still play the song.
Uh-huh.
And then they switch the snare. No one notices.
Dude, this is the thing that I have. Again, I'm going to bring it back down to fucking our level here on this small level. If you start a song over live, you better have the best fucking
the
reason.
The best reason.
The best fucking reason yeah. for that. You better, like, there better be something that's like, something horribly wrong has happened. Can you not hear yourself? Hey, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. Like,
but these are the things that, sorry to cut you off there.
No, no.
These are the things that you learn cutting your teeth at the local level when
yeah.
you're younger or when you're just starting out.
Yeah.
And then you go through the ranks and get to a stage like Coachella, even as a DJ.
Yeah.
And I say even as a DJ because I do think that DJs have a smaller hill to climb.
Especially
if they're famous already.
And on like the technical side of the world, like your technology is the most important thing for your
yes.
set. And if it doesn't, like you better be ready for that shit to not work.
Yeah.
Like it's different, but like for this show, for this podcast, I have spent time making sure that things work. And when they don't work, I'm like, this is what I can try to fix. I can try to fix this. I mm-hmm. try to fix this. Let me look at that. And if that's not working, then I'm fucked. But like,
yeah.
I'm not getting paid $1,000 yeah. to do this. So.
Like,
that does to me the perspective changes. And I wonder if she didn't get paid because she probably breached her contract by doing that.
And is she hired to play both weekends?
Oh, that's a good question.
So the other thing. So here's like on a local level too. Like Blake, who's in the chat, is also a great guitar tech. So I'm about to take my bass to him soon and get some electronics replaced on my bass, getting the pots changed out for you bass players or people who know that. And if I do that on a Thursday or if I get the bass back on a Thursday, if I have gigs Friday and Saturday, I'm going to bring a backup bass.
Yeah, just in
case. Not because I don't trust his work.
Yeah.
But because I know that some things can go wrong when you change out new stuff and stuff like that.
Right.
So if the material that he used just happened to be a weird one,
mm-hmm.
that I'm not left out in the lurch with nothing to do.
Right.
That I'm going to make sure of that.
Yeah.
Now I've been left out. I've screwed myself up at certain, like I played one gig with a broken A string.
Right.
But I had a five string and I'm a competent enough bass player.
Yeah.
That it didn't really screw me up at all.
I've seen like the like a broken like high E string ruin a guitar player, and I'm like, bitch, you strumming chords. Shut the
yeah.
fuck up.
Yeah.
Which you know, sometimes I have to remind myself it's easier for me to say that stuff to a musician or to a guitar player than you know, because for me it's different. Like in the level that I'm at, I actually do bring backup snares now to gigs. But
sure.
like, if my bass drum breaks, I kind of just have to fucking keep going and it's going to sound like shit.
100%.
It's going to sound like shit. That's
but
it.
I've seen your bass drum head break.
Yeah.
And I've seen you fight with it to kind of fix it.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't know if anybody noticed that it was broken.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So that's the thing, is that we're at the local level. If we were at Coachella, this wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah.
And yeah. for the people who are DJs, who are even slightly below her level
yeah.
and want that stage, and people who are at our local level
yeah.
looking at that going, that shouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah.
And it's not that she's Grimes. It's that she, as an artist, wasn't prepared for a simple problem.
Yeah, which
and
is
that
crazy.
Makes DJs look bad.
It does.
And they already look bad.
Yeah, musicians are already like, oh, you just press the fucking button.
That's not real music.
Yeah.
Right, which it totally, there's skill involved.
A lot of it. A lot of it. Yeah.
So much.
But yeah, anyway, so that is the Grimes. And I don't believe she's playing Weekend 2. I believe this is it. So that's what I have from Coachella. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. There were good things, obviously. Like Tyler, the Creator said, apparently was amazing. There was a lot of special guests that came out. There was a lot of those kinds of things that occurred.
Hatsune Miku.
Yeah. People were pissed.
Very pissed.
People were pissed about the Hatsune Miku. Yeah. They were like, I just watched a big TV.
Exactly.
Where's the hologram?
Yeah.
Which
is messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't have the hologram.
No, I don't know either, but. Yeah, crazy. You spent a lot of money on that shit and all that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Coachella. We'll see if Coachella Weekend 2 is anywhere close to how Coachella Weekend 1 was.
I'm looking at the setup. There are so many people on this.
Oh, yeah, so many. So many people. It's huge. It's a massive fucking weekend. So I'm going to take us to a new place. And I mentioned this to you earlier this week that we were going to talk about this. And for anyone who's paying any sort of attention to pop music news or is on TikTok and sees anything related to music, you know what I'm about to talk about, which is JoJo Siwa. Do you know who JoJo Siwa is, Steve?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No. Obviously, I've heard the name. I'm hearing it more and more.
So JoJo Siwa was she was on Dance Moms. This is how she started to get famous. Was she was on Dance Moms, not a mom, and she was also on Nickelodeon shows and films after the Dance Moms stuff, and has just kind of been an internet personality ever since the Nickelodeon stuff, especially during around the 2020 times,
right.
Kind of showing off she's growing up and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff.
The Disney star route.
Sure. Yeah. And she recently she hard launched her adult music career with a song called Karma. Now, this is a whole fucking mess of things.
Can we hear a little bit of Karma?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
You've got a plan.
A little bit.
All right.
We have to wait to listen. Okay. So Karma, she's promoting it on TikTok, and everyone's kind of making fun of the dance for the music video. It looks super fucking cringe and weird. She's, they're posting a TikTok of her being here's me singing raw in the studio. And it's well, that has reverb. That probably has Melodyne. That's crazy. That's not your raw vocal take. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Unless the vocal booth got some sick fucking room sounds.
Which it doesn't.
Which it's a vocal booth. Yeah. So
booth can't have room sounds. Yeah. Booth can have booth sounds,
which is nothing.
Nothing.
Right. So people are giving her shit for this. And then the song comes out. Again, called Karma, and people are kind of ragging on the song. It's not very good. Music video is super cringe. And then it leaks that this song was recorded by an artist in 2012 by the name of Britt Smith. Now, you probably don't know who Britt Smith is, and that is okay. Britt Smith was a artist with her twin sister, I believe. Her band with her twin sister broke up in 2009 called Britt and Alex.
Okay.
So she had this project called Britt and Alex with her twin sister that broke up in 2009. And then she was trying to start her own solo project in later years. She recorded this song called Karma in 2012. Now, let's take a step back here. What happens a lot in the music industry is people write songs. So a great modern example of this, and I'm going to forget the song titles because this is just what happens, but Charlie Puth started off as a songwriter, right? He was writing hit pop songs for pop artists, right?
Right.
Could you think of it? I'm sure if I Googled it, I could find something. But like,
I'll Google it.
I there's plenty of songs that he wrote before he was really big. There were songs that like he was gonna sing even, and then just gave it to somebody else, right?
Yeah, which happens all the time.
Which happens all the time. Which is part of what this is. So, you know, right around 2012 ish, this song Karma was written, and was offered to Miley Cyrus. According to reports, Miley Cyrus changed parts of the song and then decided, nah, I don't want that. and then it was offered to this artist, Britt Smith.
Right.
Britt Smith recorded the song, shot a music video for the song, and then the label said, actually, no, we're not gonna move forward with you.
Right.
So then the song, the music video, and her music career, Dunskies.
Just set.
Yeah. So then we cut to sometime this year, and that song Karma was then brought to JoJo Siwa, and they're like, hey, do you want this song? Now
they really dug that up.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
It sounds like, and we'll play a snippet here in a second. It sounds like I think what she wanted, which is like pretty like, you know, maybe 2010s nostalgia.
Yeah,
which makes fucking sense. It was written 2012. so she wanted this like nostalgia thing, I think. But here's the kicker, right? Here's the kicker for all of this. Not only is she posting all this stuff on TikTok about how she, this is the raw vocal take, or here's the cringe dance everyone's making fun of. She's sitting here talking about how much this song means to her.
Right.
She's sitting here making videos about like, this song just means so much to me because of X, Y, and Z. It's really personal. Bitch.
You didn't write it.
Yeah. Which again, I got no fucking problem with.
No. So again, on that topic, because Charlie Puth is a person like that. Sia wrote songs for people for a long time.
Yeah.
Charlie XCX, Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
So many people.
Yeah. So these people have, you know, there's nothing wrong with like, you know, having a song that's not that you didn't write. And when I say like at all, like,
yeah.
Okay. So now let's listen to a snippet of JoJo Siwa's Karma. Have you heard any of this now?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So here is Karma by JoJo Siwa. I can honestly also comfortably say, never heard the intro because I just hear the TikTok clips. But we'll listen to the intro, and then if the chorus isn't right away, I'll skip to the chorus. Yeah. She's talking about how important that one is to her.
Oh, this is her raw vocal?
Okay, so I'm gonna skip to the chorus. It's fucking 2010.
Effed around.
Yeah. Why are we saying karma's a bitch and then effed around?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. All right. So that is Karma by JoJo Siwa.
Oh my God.
Now there was an update a couple days ago. This is crazy. I didn't think this shit could get more wild. Britt Smith released her version. So it was already leaked. You could already hear what it sounded like. It is available to listen to. Britt Smith released her version of the song not 3 days ago, April 14th. Okay? So let's listen to that.
Please be the same track.
Now, I can't get
same tempo, same key.
I'm going to fast forward. Same lyrics.
Same lyrics. Oh, my eye is so itchy.
I'll go back a little bit. Sorry.
It's the same.
Holy shit, is it the same?
It's the same.
Okay, now, I don't have a really that much of an issue with JoJo Siwa taking the song and it's the same. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no fucking problem with that. It's to tote around that it was hers. Now, the other thing is that she was, like, getting, like, stopped by TMZ, like, what do you have to say about this? And she's like, well, everyone on the internet fucking thinks I'm crazy now. And like, I just wrote this song that means a lot to me. And then they're like, do you know who Britt Smith is? Do you know that Miley Cyrus was offered the song? She's like, that shit never happened. And then she eventually starts to walk that back and say like, well, like, you know, like, I don't know who Britt is, but like, she did, it's not her song. It's my song. And she starts to acknowledge that these things are reality and that it is happening. And then Britt Smith drops the fucking song. So now everyone on TikTok is like streaming this, and yesterday on like the iTunes or pop charts, no, it must be like pop charts of something, Britt Smith's version was number 3 on the pop charts.
Was JoJo Siwa's anywhere to be found?
Nope.
Hilarious.
So.
Karma's a bitch.
Dude, karma's a bitch. Now, this brought up a whole other thing for me. Aside from the fact this is just fucking crazy, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how Britt Smith can legally do this.
I don't know if she even has to worry about it at this point.
It's good publicity it's publicity at this point, no matter what JoJo Siwa does, right?
Yeah.
So just to clarify what I mean by I don't know how she legally can do this. These songs are basically trading hands of who owns them.
Yeah.
JoJo Siwa and her team, I have to imagine, own the fucking song.
I can imagine that they have zero ownership over it.
JoJo Siwa and her team?
Her team, yeah.
Oh, well, like...
Her label.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. But, like, that's what I mean by her team, right? The people who are surrounding her own the song, right?
And yes. Yeah. In some ways. But it's probably the same thing as Taylor re-recording her versions of songs, where Britt Smith could use that same logic and go, well, I'm just going to release the original that I have. Because she recorded it. It's not her song. She didn't write it. So it would be up to the composer and the songwriters.
Yes.
And if the composer and the songwriters own the rights to the song and they lease it to the label.
Yeah.
Who knows if they were exclusive with that label?
I guarantee that the writers and the composers have the least amount of the rights. The label has all of it.
Yeah.
And JoJo Siwa and her team would be more likely to, that means her, I mean, like, because I bet she has an ownership in that. I bet that she was like, it's part of her label deal probably, that she will eventually inevitably have to pay back, such as how label deals work.
Yes.
But that is like, I would bet that in her agreement that she would own her material, right?
Yeah.
Now, the comparison that I thought of would be like, let's say you have an old blues or a blues rock song, right?
Yeah.
That then a band that was written by like a person of color, right?
Yeah.
And then like an old fucking British white band, say, recorded a version of it, but there was already a recorded version, you know, that existed before.
Yeah.
Right. I would imagine that the person who's in the most like power in that scenario could sue them to take their version away.
Yes.
Which is kind of the closer thing we're looking at here, because with Taylor Swift, she's like, cool, you got that. I'm going to re-record all this. This isn't a re-recording. This already was done.
I mean, that looks like it's even from an album, because that looks like an album cover.
She was doing, the label just dropped her.
Yeah.
The label was like, we're just done with you. We just don't want to do it. And so, like, this to me screams a lot more like, I mean, first of all, I love that she did this.
It's hilarious.
I'm not saying like she shouldn't have done this. I think it's amazing. But I do think it's interesting because JoJo Siwa is already basically on the line of like, everyone thinks I'm fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I just wanted to release a song, but is not saying that, right? Is like, everyone thinks I'm fucking crazy. This is my song, you know, whatever. And then Britt Smith releases this. It would be so on brand for the situation for JoJo Siwa to go, fuck you then.
Yeah.
Because there have been dumber music lawsuits in the world.
100%.
Yeah.
Almost all of them.
Yeah. And this one is like,
this is pretty clear cut.
The same song.
Yeah.
Decidedly the
same
song.
Same tempo, same key.
Same
words, lyrics.
Same melody.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at things that, like, when you look at music lawsuits, which we talked about,
people have been sued for less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We take a look at that, like the Charlie Puth, Marvin Gaye state lawsuit, right? And in all those examples, not the same key, not the same lyrics, similar melodies, but not the same melodies.
Yeah.
Similar chord progressions, not the same chord progressions. These are almost identical songs.
Yes.
Like to a T of production almost.
Grimes could almost try to like
Grimes
go in between them
and ruin it.
Yeah.
Grimes would make it legal,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
yeah. So the that's kind of where I'm at with this. It's kind of I think both parts of the story are incredible. It's,
yeah,
like JoJo Siwa being like, dude, my song, I love it. You know,
not to mention there's like people think she's crazy, but like that outfit that she wore where it looks like she just got into a fight with a Sharpie.
Yeah, yeah.
That on site, not knowing that was JoJo Siwa, because that's how I found out who she was.
Yeah.
Was seeing that video of someone like apparently on a red carpet or something. She's getting interviewed and she has that look.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this person does not look like it's giving Britney Spears vibes.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
I'm like, I hope she's okay.
I mean, you said it well, the Disney route kind of thing. Yeah. Disney child route. I mean, I thought for a while she was pretty sick. Like I thought she was, you know, a good image for like, look at this kind of person who's grown up and she's, you know, like she wasn't doing anything crazy. She was just a little bit out there, but
yeah.
Blake in the chat said both versions were produced by Rock Mafia, who still owns the rights to the song.
There you go.
Yeah. You'll have to send me that. Cause I'm curious to see if they still actually own 100% of the rights to the song.
If they don't own 100, they probably have to own 51.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause like,
and then it's like, it's our fucking song, and we already have two versions of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Imagine if Miley was like, here's my version.
Well, I don't think she recorded hers, but yeah, that would be sick. Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of times when you hear, when there are artists that, you know, like a Charlie Puth or a Bruno Mars,
yeah,
that have given a song to someone else.
Right.
What I find is that you'll hear... Anytime you listen to a song that was co-written or mostly written by Charlie Puth,
yeah,
it sounds like a Charlie Puth song.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Or on the inverse, where you'll hear that, you know, someone got this song from Bruno Mars, and then you go, oh, it sounds like if Bruno Mars gave Miley Cyrus a song,
yeah,
it would sound like a Miley Cyrus song.
Right.
Because the artist that either wrote it or got the version is such a strong artist,
right,
that they made it their own.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's what happens a lot of the time with that
song. Most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess I misunderstood what Rock Mafia is like a production team.
Oh,
so they would own the rights to that because they were the like they it's yeah they're not like they're not like. The song they're the songwriters, but they're like a team of it would be close to the equivalent of a label owning,
but which also means that Rock Mafia had to give Britt Smith permission to release it,
yeah,
because I mean, that has to go through, you know. I mean, imagine if you and I were to try and take our recorded version of a Metallica song,
yeah,
and upload it to all the big streaming platforms, it would get flagged immediately,
yeah. This got flagged immediately as well. I don't know. This is crazy. So, yeah, I'm so curious because someone had to say yes, but I'm so curious like how the release worked on this because that like it did just feel like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and something's gonna happen. We're not done talking about this.
No, I love this. Oh, that was the other thing too. That was the other really interesting thing. So she's just also clarify. Britt Smith is releasing this independently without a label.
Mm-hmm.
So a label like you know so the production team might have said go ahead.
Sure.
But there's not a label. She has no backing on this.
There,
right.
There is a producer though.
The producer is
Timbaland.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that's the other thing about this. So that's the other part I forgot to say in the original story of this. When it hit after it passed Miley Cyrus, it then got to Timbaland.
And Timbaland must have been working with Britt Smith.
Timbaland made it the 2010 sound. And that yes, she was working with Timbaland on it.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a crazy little thing.
I wonder who JoJo Siwa was produced by.
It was easy to. Let's see.
Let's go back a couple of clicks.
Let's see what this says here.
Blake said they produced a demo for Britt Smith in 2012 with Timbaland. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the demo is you put it in quotes. Well, the demo is what we hear. It is the song.
Yeah, and with producers like Timbaland and on another side in times like these, like today, demos already sound done.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I was listening to an interview with Rick Rubin talking about how, like, 9 times out of 10, he doesn't want to hear the demos because you could just release the demos as they are.
Right, yeah.
Like, you don't really need that. Some people aren't even mastering these days.
Yeah. Well, and so the thing to note here is like where people say this got leaked. She uploaded the music video in 2012 to Vimeo.
Britt Smith did.
Uploaded it in 2013, I suppose. it was 2012, yeah. And then after all this, it comes up and is like, holy shit. So JoJo Siwa's listed producer is just Rock Mafia. So I wonder if Timbaland gets a credit somewhere down the line, but I mean, he at least got a credit on the other one.
He made the beat.
But
even if they produced it, made a different feel, like
no, it's Timbaland.
At a certain point, like it's his idea because Timbaland is notorious for just stacking beats and stacking beats, just like Dr. Dre, and taking artists in. If you go on YouTube, you can see many, many, many videos of Timbaland showing beats to people.
Right.
Famously, there's one with Jay-Z where he's like, okay, what else do you got? And then he shows him Brush Your Shoulders Off.
Yeah.
And he's like, Jay-Z's like, fuck yeah, that's the song.
Yeah. So the other producer on the JoJo Siwa one is a guy named DJ White Shadow.
Okay.
Not a good name. but apparently he's like worked with Lady Gaga a lot.
Lady Gaga
is worked with honor for Born This Way, Art Pop. He also produced this and wrote some of the songs for A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga.
Oh wow!
Seems like he's worked with a lot of good stuff. Unfortunately, he is an NFT enthusiast and collector, so let's get him out of here.
That's a good misstep to have, though. I think it is. It's innocent. Is it not?
No, it's pretty not innocent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know.
Bitcoin, NFT, all like the, not Bitcoin specifically, but like, what's the fucking word? Holy shit. The things like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
what the fuck is that called?
Currency, digital currency?
Yeah, whatever the fuck. My brain, sorry.
Yeah, I'm brain farting on that too.
Anyway, it's all really predatory, and like it's designed to basically make people spend money they shouldn't, and basically like it's like playing the stock market without having any knowledge of how to play the stock market.
Right.
Currency mining.
That's what it's called, right?
No, well, the currency mining would be like if you are mining for Bitcoin, but there's a name for the kind of like the overarching
thing.
Yeah. Currency mining is like if you were to just mine for Bitcoin, which
cryptocurrency.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Because I was gonna say, Blake, I was gonna say currency mining as well.
Mining is an action you would take to get that, which is then so you would mine to have Ethereum, which then Ethereum is what it's a currency that you primarily use to buy NFTs. So like people will basically in like at the time of like the peak of NFTs. It was basically like, cool, let's invest a lot of money and like, you know, people will then spend a lot of money on NFTs and the value of NFTs has dropped like fucking crazy.
Oh, same with Bitcoin's been up and down too.
Bitcoin is currently dropping. He's listed as a social token creator. Yeah, he has one. He has a token of his own.
It's like internet timeshares.
Kinda, yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah,
the same type of people would get into both things.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it really is. It really is akin to the stock market. Like, if you're like everybody got into the stock market during the GameStop stuff, in 2020 and 2021. And for a lot of people, that was super duper dangerous because it was like people just didn't know how to play the stock market. And then the stock market decided, no, fuck you, I'm gonna play you.
Yeah.
And you know, with cryptocurrency, it doesn't like it's. It just ebbs and flows a lot.
Right.
And with Bitcoin, it was like it hit 50K. And I remember hearing a lot of people online who were like, fuck, I'm going to buy now. It's just going up. It's like, well, haha. No, not really.
No.
And it has gone up. Right. And I think right now it's at like 67K, but it's currently going down.
Sure.
So, and there's a lot of them that you could invest in and see a big return on. So like Dogecoin, which is Elon's, like it's worth like fractions of a cent. So buying multiple of them is like nothing. And then if it does boom, then holy shit, you've made a lot of money.
But then, yeah, that's the whole thing. I mean, I just don't understand any of it because then it's like, okay, but I'm going to sell. Okay, but no one's buying.
Well, you could still sell. Doesn't matter. That's like how the stock market works.
Right.
If you see that you have a boom in something, then you just sell your shares. That's it.
Or there's the gamble. Or you can wait and see if it gets better.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So that's a knock on DJ White Shadow is that he's a real big into NFTs.
You know what's crazy to me? If we can go down that road for a second.
Crazy you.
Sometimes people, I know people that like their parents taught them about the stock market and stocks.
Yeah.
And have been like, I had a roommate once who was like, I heard him down the hallway in his room go, oh, cool. And I was like, oh, what's cool? He's like, oh, I just sold a stock for a small chunk of change. And I was like, how much was it? And he's like, oh, it was nothing. I was like, come on, man. What's a small chunk of change? He's like, just 15,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have $15,000.
We're going out.
We're going out.
Yeah. If people understand the stock market, and especially if you have an accountant, like if you're basically born into a situation where, because you're not going to learn, I mean, you basically are going to be born in a situation where someone around you understands or has an accountant that can tell you whether or not you should invest. It's really hard to enter the stock market without having that kind of backup, background, something to just, otherwise you are joining the stock market to learn from your failures and to then come back better, which is the minority, or lose a fuck ton of money on the stock market.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, Apple does real well. I should probably put some money in that.
Exactly.
And then Apple does do real well, but you're going to be sitting, you just threw money at a thing you're going to be sitting there just staring at and hoping. I mean, it's a gamble investment, which investments can be just in general gambles, but that's like a stock market can be a real scary one, especially after they basically just, with the GameStop thing, were like, well, not just, it was years ago, but like decided, no, we don't actually care about you. We can decide when you can stop trading. And
Yeah, man, it all is a gamble. I had a moment the other day where I was sitting in a drive-thru and I looked at Heather and I was like handing the person my card.
Yeah.
And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. None of this is real. I think that's why when you were like, hey, how are you? I'm like, none of this matters because it's all made up and it's just like, oh, here's my little thing. And then they like swipe it and I have less of something in an imaginary place somewhere.
Yeah.
In exchange for coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah, you a lot.
Dead sober, by the way. Dead sober.
A lot of wealthy people are wealthy from their assets.
Yeah.
Not from actually liquid
amounts. They're liquid broke.
Some of them aren't, but yeah.
But it's still crazy. It's
assets, yeah, which is a very interesting thing.
Like, the idea of net worth is just, like, bizarre.
Yeah. It's very strange. It's very, there's, like, someone told me once, like the average net worth of, most people in America is, like, $2.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, because debt is real, man.
Like I said, mid-30s existential mini crisis. I have those daily.
Yeah. I mean, money is real and fake. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I love it. Anyway, so the JoJo Siwa thing we will continue to talk about as it comes up. And I know that there's other music news that existed in the world. You know, there was the Dance Gavin Dance drama, which is not
more.
Dude, it's so stupid. I spending time on it is upsetting to
me.
But I'll say they kicked out Tillian, which, you know, when Tillian was accused of things, they were like, cool, he's out, he's going to get some help. And then he came back in the band. And then they posted a thing that was like, oh, and by the way, he's now out. We tried to make it work, which I respected. They tried to make it work, but it was like the Dance Gavin Dance fandom is like, oh, I can't believe it. I'm like, really? Really? Really now? Because this should have already happened, guys. But yeah, Blake in the chat said Jason Isbell drama. I don't know about this. Do you know about this?
Yeah, okay. I got it. Okay. On his album Weather Vanes, I think it was the song When We Were Close.
Okay.
Is about Steve Earle's son. I'm blanking on his name right now. But he passed away, and it's very, very clearly about him.
Yeah.
And, wow. You check that out. What's his name?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Or Blake.
I'm on it. Why is it not like just like right there? Wikipedia. We gotta have a talk.
Justin Towns Earl.
Justin Towns
Blake's
Earl,
got it. Yeah. So the song is When We Were Close, and there are where is it? Okay, so you know there are lyrics such as Justin Towns Earl overdosed on drugs. That's how he passed away. And there's a lyric in particular that was quoted. Saw a picture of you laughing with your child, and I hope she'll remember how you smiled. But she probably wasn't old enough the night somebody sold you stuff that left you on the bathroom tiles.
Okay.
I got a picture of you dying in my mind with some ghosts you couldn't bear to leave behind. I can hear your voice ring as you snap another B string, and you finish off the set with only five. So he's talking about his time with Justin Townes Earl.
Right.
And, you know, kind of saying, like, it could have been either one of us because we know he struggled as well.
Yes.
And he kind of says, like, why wasn't I, kind of thing. And Justin Townes Earl's wife was like, all right, I gotta go public with this. I asked him not to release this song. I asked him not to put it on the album. And if he was going to put it on the album, I asked him not to, like,
say,
make it a single. I asked him to put it in the back of the album somewhere.
Shit.
And, or asked his team, rather.
Sure.
Apparently he's ghosted her.
Fuck.
And he's performed that song on talk shows. All while she's like, I can't confirm that he knows about me being upset with this.
Yeah.
But he's super not even tried to acknowledge it.
Fuck.
That sucks. Wrote the song and didn't even reach out to her and say, hey, is it cool if I release this song? So she's just trying to say, like, I hope he'll make amends with it.
Yeah.
And the one thing he did say about it was that he understands that there are going to be some victims by him releasing the song.
Yeah.
But he feels like there will be more victims in other ways if he doesn't release songs like that. Because he thinks of it as a cautionary tale, and now his friend is no longer with us.
Yeah, but I think it's important also, obviously, to respect the wishes.
Of course.
At the very least, just, like, maybe just don't say, you know, put it in the back half, or don't play it, like, you know, like, that's wild.
Yeah. He's like, oh, wow.
Blake in the chat. As Blake said, researcher in the chat, for our audio listeners, if you have found yourself sitting in your car screaming at us, you can come to the live stream and yell at us here and tell us when we're wrong. And maybe we'll take you seriously. Blake's been on the show and we trust him. He's basically a music historian.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
He said in the chat, Steve Earle gave Jason Isbell the go-ahead personally as well. I don't know. If songwriter dad...
Yeah, but
gives me the go-ahead, I'm still reaching out to... dead songwriter's son,
that's
wife.
Yeah, that's that's like a songwriter go ahead is like the guy who gets why Jason Isbell would want to release the song.
Yeah.
And then the other person who's like, I also get why you want to release the song.
Yeah.
But it's very, very personal to me for you to do this in a different way.
Yeah.
So like the, you know, it's not the same, but it reminds me of like going and like asking parent and they say no, asking other parents so they say yes.
Yes.
You know.
And she also was like, and for the record, he didn't die on a bathroom floor.
Right.
And we didn't release the details of his death. So now I'm having to explain to my daughter, who is getting old enough to understand, that there's a song about her father.
Jesus fucking Christ. That sucks.
You know, that's not what happened. And like, we were trying to keep this private and stuff like that. So it's a pretty shitty move on Isbell's part. I don't know how he's going to get himself out of that one.
That's tough. That's real tough. People will forget about it. That's how.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, people are going to forget about it.
I hate that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about all of our music news for the day. That's about all we got. What you been listening to?
See if I have anything interesting. I tried to listen to more of the Vampire Weekend record.
Oh, did you?
And I'm going to continue to do that. Friend of the show, bandmate, ex-host.
Yeah.
Ex-co-host Jackson.
Yeah.
Asked me what I thought of it because there's a lot of upright bass on it.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't like the mix.
Yeah.
And he just put a very surprised emoji. And then I was like, okay, cool. I'll give it more listens.
Sure. Yeah.
I think I'm changing my opinion on it in that I was writing it off because it's just not for me. And I'm going to be more stubborn about it and listen to it more until I actually figure out something more articulate to explain why it's not for me.
Sure.
Or I just decide it's not for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's reasonable to say it's just not for you. I mean, I think it's very clear that you and Jackson have different ears.
Sure,
as clear from the Queens of the Stone Age record, where you're like, I can hear the bass, like you can't hear the bass at all.
Yeah.
I'm like, the bass player said you can hear the bass, so I don't really know what's happening currently, but clearly the ears are different. So like the mix thing is interesting to me because I'm like, oh well, you know, like. I listened to that mix, and to me, it just sounds like Vampire Weekend. It sounds like the way they mix their stuff.
But I don't know them.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The other thing is I feel like I have a certain responsibility to myself personally.
Sure. Yeah, I get that.
Outside of the show, that if I'm going to complain that some artists aren't digging deep enough or being artistic enough.
Sure.
It's weird for me to turn around and go, that mix is too artistic and deep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to check myself on that.
Well, there you go. That's fine. That's fine.
What do you got?
Man, I don't got a whole lot. I don't think we mentioned it last week, but Better Lovers single, The Flowering. We listened to it on Fun Fridays, and it was a doozy. And I continue to believe that it's a doozy. And I have one bad take about the song, and Blake knows it. Our chatter Blake knows it, and I'll save it for last. I think the song is a heavy fever dream that is designed to never let you feel like you're grounded. And I think it does that perfectly. And I think it's going to be one of those songs where I can't listen to it all the time if I want to listen to heavy music. It depends on like how the album kind of flows for me on that song. On the end of the day, there's some really crazy shit in it. Like it's out there. Tempo change, like feel change,
yeah.
like just crazy riffs that never feel like, you know, metal doesn't necessarily have like these ideas of quote unquote resolution, right?
Right.
You know, we talk a lot about one of my favorite things to hear, like, you know, maybe non-musicians or slight musicians say like, oh, does that resolve right? Shut up. But this in a lot of metal riffs, especially when you have like drop tuned guitars, probably one of the easiest way to like resolve something is just hit that fucking open string.
Yeah,
right?
hit your lowest note.
Yeah, that tends to be what key you're working with or what key area you're working with. Anyway, there's a lot of spots where you just don't really feel like any sort of harmonic grounding.
Right.
And it's tough for most people, I think, to probably listen to. Mm-hmm. And I found myself on re-listens going, this is great. Just going to really depend for me.
I'm dude, like
the,
I mean,
the,
if,
the mood.
If we're right to assume that there's going to be a full record soon, if the full record is that, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be really good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be tough.
But it's not going to be an everyday listen, you know, kind of thing.
We also, I should say on the show that I misspoke. It isn't the drums that modulate. It's the guitar that modulates the riff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
Blake...
Yeah.
In the chat, we re-listened to it and together, and I was like, check out this drum modulation. And then I was like, oh, it's not drums.
Yeah.
The drummer goes with the guitar player, but it's the guitar riff that modulates.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
So my bad take is that I think that the vocalist doesn't need to be on the entire song.
Yeah.
I think he can probably take a fucking seat and just let the riff do something sometimes. I think that's also making it hard for me to like, cause I love the riffs. They're so fucking good. It's like, bro, you need to sit, you need to chill.
He's a powerhouse.
He is
of a vocalist.
And I mean, man, he sounds great, but it's just like chill for us. Just a little bit there. And then the other thing that I will mention that we also listened to on Fun Fridays, but I've been listening to it a couple, a little bit more is, Andrew by Ben Platt. Ben Platt. I love Ben Platt. He's amazing. He's perfect. And, he is releasing, another album. He did one a couple years ago. It was good. It wasn't my favorite thing, but he's releasing an album in May. Andrew is the first single off of it. And it's produced by what's his name?
Dave Cobb.
And, it's beautiful.
I'm going to assume that Dave Cobb did the whole record.
Yeah. I'm going to assume so as well. But it's a beautiful song.
So good.
Oh, I got to go back to the JoJo Siwa thing. One more thing she said that was out fucking rageous is that she invented a new genre. and the new genre she invented is called gay pop. listen to Andrew by Ben Platt and tell me that that's not like, I mean, it's not like pop pop in the same way as Karma, but like also JoJo Siwa did not invent gay pop. What are we talking about?
What about Britney Spears?
I'm just like, yeah, so many people. Like, what are we doing here? Anyway, so.
Also, what is gay pop?
Well, it's crazy. When she was interviewed about TMZ about this, she was like, they're like, so you invented a new genre? Like, what do you mean? Isn't that already like existed? Like, you
know, Little Richard.
Yeah, that's good. So they're like, what do you mean inventing a new genre? She's like, well, you know, people say like, oh, there's like rock, there's pop. And, you know, I just want to, I have gay pop. And I'm like,
no, you don't.
Okay, anyway. So, but Andrew would be a song where I'm like, that's actually like a modern, it's not like pop pop, but it's a poppier song.
Sure. Hey, are we doing Fun Fridays this week?
Yeah.
You know what I'm excited to listen to?
What's that?
The Willow single.
Oh, yeah.
The next one that came out.
The album's going to be out soon.
I know.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to the other single.
No, I haven't either yet.
Saving it for Fridays.
I also know that she's doing stuff with fucking...
John Batiste?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friend who plays in John Batiste has been posting stuff on his story with Willow. So
really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
That is so crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at you. That's 2 degrees.
2 degrees, dude. 2 degrees. Dude.
Fuck yeah.
It's crazy. He's just in the background surrounded by keyboards and guitars, but he's
as he should be.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you got anything else?
No.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're over here on YouTube, if you haven't already, please follow or subscribe whatever podcast app you're using to listen to this. And if you're listening and you made it this far, please give us a little 5-star review on said podcast app. I forget that exists. I'm remembering. It helps us out a lot if you leave those little reviews for us. If you're over here on YouTube and you haven't already, please like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, because all that stuff is very, very helpful. And if you're on social media, you can find us at Don't Be the Artist on TikTok and DFTA Podcast on Instagram. And if you have any show ideas, if you want to say hi to us, if you have opinions about anything that we've said, obviously, if you're here in the live stream, leave it in the chat. But you can also email us at feedback@don'tbetheartist.com, and you can DM us on all those previously mentioned social medias, because we would truly love to hear from you guys. It's super fun to read comments. I posted a TikTok today from our grunge episode where I split it up into two parts. And the comments were great. The comments were just incredible. I'll
have to look at those.
I split the TikTok where like we start listening to a clip, and then the next TikTok that I'll post will be us like reacting to said clip. Uh-huh. And at the very end, I put like follow for part two or whatever, like you do. And the comment was like, they only played 1 second of the fucking song. I'm like, yeah, dumbass. You got to follow, bro. But anyway, so yeah.
It probably did annoy that person to watch the whole clip and go like, oh, I can't wait to hear a clip of the song.
We didn't talk about the clip till later.
Sure,
the clip
of course.
Anyway, not the point. But yeah, so drop a comment on any of the social media stuff. We really like to hear from you guys. And yes, we'll be doing Fun Friday. So if you're available Friday around 3, it varies, ish. But let's say 3 o'clock is the middle ground, central time. We will be listening to new music, hanging out, and all that good
and
stuff.
And follow us on socials, if nothing else, just to see, because Hagen so diligently posts what time we're going live on Fridays.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
A more specific time.
Yeah. I'll tend to post like an hour before we go live.
Yeah.
And one final thing, if you haven't already, join our Patreon. As soon as we're done here, I have two things I'm uploading on our Patreon. One of them being our very first gig vlog. And by our, I mean mine. It was a test run. It was just for like a weekend of March gigs. But I'll be uploading that as soon as we're done, as soon as I clean up and eat dinner. So I'll be uploading that. And, just stay looking out of the Patreon.
Yeah.
So, and we'll be doing the gig vlogs. I think it is pretty good. I'm pretty pleased with it. So, thank you guys so much again. Adam, do you have anything that you want to say? You have anything you want to add, Adam? Is that, what do you think?
Fuck off! Get rid of the paddle!
Jesus fucking Christ. Bye!
I freaked out for a second because I was like, oh no, what if I put a mark from the...
Yeah, for the audio listeners, Dave just rubbed the vinyl, which is the album stand-in, all over the microphone. Nothing happened, but it was just really funny. It was incredibly aggressive. All right, bye.